The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. And Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We also will come with you." And so they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" And they answered him, "No." And so he said to them, "Cast the net over to the right side of the boat, and you will find something." And so they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net of fish. And when they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish and bread on it. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." And so Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in a like manner, the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." And then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Peter said, let's go fishing. The other disciples, okay, we'll go with you. It's a casual kind of conversation that implies that the disciples really didn't have much they felt like they were supposed to be doing. You see, Jesus had risen from the grave, and that totally surprised them and filled them with joy. And this is now the third time Jesus appears to his disciples, but they have not yet realized that the resurrection of Jesus is meant to change their life. And I think many of us these days are still like that. We may believe in the resurrection, we may believe in Jesus, but maybe like those disciples, just go through the motions of living life, and that reality of the resurrection doesn't change it. We may perhaps go to work, try to earn a living, but it's not really our call or our mission. We're just going through the motions. But if Jesus rose from the dead, if he died for our salvation, the next step of the journey is that he has a plan for us, a mission. And our life, because of the resurrection, is filled with purpose and has a mission. And the image that we have in this gospel is our mission. It's the mission of the church. The boat on the sea represents the church. And remember how this all started? At the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus called the disciples and said, I will make you fishers of men, maybe they forgot that. And they went back to be fishers of fish. But Jesus wanted them to be fishers of men. And so the boat represents the church, and the apostles in the boat fishing represent the job or the ministry of all those into church to catch people and bring them into the kingdom of God. And it may seem sometimes that we're alone, but if Jesus is risen, he's always there, close. He's on the shore, and he's directing the work, the mission of the church. And after we've worked hard, we come back, and Jesus himself feeds us and nourishes us and refreshes us at this table. That's the mission of the church. And I know many people, myself for a long time, felt that that mission really didn't apply to us or to me. Because I know life is difficult, and if you're making a living, you got to work hard to put food on the table. You got to work hard to keep that roof over your head. We have lots of burdens, lots of responsibilities. And we don't really have time to do God's work. That's for other people, Father Paul, Father Carlos. That's for the apostles, the disciples, the saints. But that's not true. Each of us has a mission, a role in that mission. And there's various different things that our gifts and talents call us to do, but our purpose and our mission in life is to orient our work towards the kingdom of God. And bringing people into the church, bringing people to Christ. But it's really hard because we feel that we just don't have time in this busy world with so many demands. Can you relate to that? Look what's happening in this gospel, though. They fished all night by their own power. They worked all night long and they got nothing. And Jesus, in one little instant, says, oh, throw your net over there, and it's filled. If we really have the courage and the faith to orient our life towards serving God in his kingdom, God can provide for our needs and so much more. And so, although it is difficult, God wants us to trust in him, to see this mission of the church. And yes, As we do this throughout the week, we're going to have times when we feel like we're at the end of the rope or we can't make ends meet. We're going to feel confused and tired. But then we come back to this table every week, every Sunday, and we hear more of the Word of God. We encourage one another, and Jesus himself feeds us and leads us and guides us. It's a tough mission. But you know what? There's a long and many stages and journey of our life journey in order to get to that mission. Peter is a beautiful example. Remember when Peter first met Jesus? For Peter, it was in a boat. Jesus got into his boat and started preaching. And when Peter realized the power of God in Jesus, he said, "Lord, get away from me, a sinful man." I think Peter, indeed, like all of us, was a great sinner. And he converted and he started to follow Christ. And as he followed Christ as a disciple, we know he made many mistakes. It was hard for him to learn. He had to relearn and failed many times. And then when it finally came to the crucifixion, he denied Jesus 3 times and abandoned him. But when he sees Jesus on the shore, the resurrected Jesus, he also has the grace to go to him and to be reconciled. So it is with us. No matter how many sins and what kind of sins we've committed, no matter how many times we failed or haven't gotten it right, if we've denied Jesus or abandoned him, he still will receive us back and welcome us. There's a powerful dialogue right at the end of this gospel, after breakfast. Jesus says to Peter, right, "Do you love me?" If you read the original Greek, and I never have because I don't read Greek, but scholars would tell us there's a couple words being used here. You know, in Greek, there's several types of love. There's agape love, which is perfect love, which is what Christ gave and did for us, to lay down his life totally for another person. And then there's philia love, or friendship love. And if you look at the words in this gospel, Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you agape me?" Right? "Do you love me with all your life perfectly?" And Peter responds, "I philo you." And so Jesus asks Peter again, "Do you agape me?" And he says, "Well, I philo you." He's not quite there yet. And so the third time, Jesus says to him, "Peter, do you philo me?" And Peter says, "Yes, I philo you." All of us fall short in our call, in our mission. All of us fall short of that perfect love God wants us to act with. But God will meet us wherever we are, and he'll embrace us. And then he'll feed us and encourage us. God loves us no matter where we are. But he loves us so much he doesn't want to leave us where we are. He wants us to grow towards perfect love, agape. And so you'll see Peter in that first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, he's gone much further. He's proclaiming Jesus at the risk of his life. And then Jesus in this gospel foretells what really happened. Peter was martyred and followed Jesus in agape and laid down his life for the kingdom. That's our call, but it's a long journey. And God, no matter where we are in that journey, wants to take us one step further. Today, let us come to this table. Let us be fed by Jesus. Let us accept his love, and let it take us the next step in our spiritual journey towards perfect love, towards living our mission and our call in life.